Addendum 1. Dreams and Visions. If you asked Joel what the outpouring of the Holy Spirit looked like, he would answer dreams, visions, and prophecy. I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Joel 2:28. One night, my wife and one daughter both had dreams about synchronized swimming. There was nothing going on in our world that would make us think of this. God was simply communicating how fun and beautiful it is when we synchronize our movements in the Holy Spirit. In a dream, I was registering to go to college and began to point to the people around me, saying, "Look at all the Tennesseans." There were over a dozen dreams about being in Tennessee. They were part of our decision to move there. We have often received chastening and correction, confirmation and guidance through dreams. We've been warned so that we might pray and be aware. We've received wisdom through these provisions. It was about 2 p.m. and I was tired. I flopped down on the bed to rest. Instantly, I saw a vision of a cowboy wearing leather and covered with silver conchos. We had been wondering if we should join a local cowboy church. The vision helped us make our decision. Joel prophesied a rainstorm of dreams and visions. I anticipate a deluge. Record your dreams and visions. Share them with dream partners. Pray for clear interpretations and fitting applications, and give thanks to God. Addendum 2. 9 Gifts of the Spirit. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. 1 Corinthians 12:7-10. We are reawakening to the fact that our God is a lavish lover with lavish gifts. These gifts build up the body and influence others for Messiah. Here's a hop, skip, and jump over these gifts. The message of wisdom. Peter had a peculiar vision, a sheet full of unclean animals. Consequently, he gained wisdom to join the Gentiles at Cornelius' home and see them respond to Messiah. In a dream, a former president showed me a chart displaying how one may effectively work with people by finding points of commonality among them. Subgroups may be formed by finding distinctive points of agreement. It was a gift of wisdom. Have you ever been astonished by a download of Solomonic wisdom? Don't claim that it comes from your own genius. May our Lord sprinkle gifts of wisdom on you. The message of knowledge. Jesus knew the woman at Jacob's well had had 5 husbands and was living with a man who was not her husband. He had supernatural insight. She knew it and responded. I took a visiting minister to our local tavern for lunch. The waitress came by and Ron began to get words of knowledge. They came progressively. By the Spirit, he saw the woman raised horses. They did barrel racing, and they competed nationally. So it was. He had the woman's attention because he was listening to the Spirit. Faith. Everyone is given a measure of faith. God also gives special gifts of faith. Would you like some? Paul was told by an angel the Lord would save the lives of the people on his ship. He had faith to boldly speak to them. Acts 27. In July of 1987, the Lord told me, "The next miracle you see will be a resurrection from the dead." 3 weeks later, our daughter Teresa was abducted and drowned in a nearby irrigation ditch. When I saw her dead body, faith rose up. I knew, this is it. You may find this story at our website at landingstripenterprises.com. Gifts of healing. I think you ought to have a gift of healing. The world would be a happier place and reverence Yeshua if you exercised one. Have you ever asked? Many will be relieved of vascular disease, mental illness, or arthritis as you receive and act on a healing gift. When he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. Ephesians 4:8. After the Lord's tremendous expenditures, he surely desires to see the fruit of his tribulation. We should not abort Jesus' satisfaction by failing to seek, receive, and minister healing gifts. Miraculous powers. Multiplication of food, stilling waves, and cursing fig trees. Our Lord is miraculous. He intends his people to be like him. After you've been part of a miracle, you can never be the same. Paul shook off the snake into the fire. What should you shake off in Jesus' name? Sweat rags that bring healing and praise that opens prison doors are meant to inspire us to pursue miraculous gifts. Paul said, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." 1 Corinthians 2, 4-5. Don't wait for others. Pursue miraculous gifts. Prophecy. The woman at the conference prophesied to me that I would minister to millions, primarily through the media like radio and TV. How could an ordinary person do that? Several years later, Pam and I finished an interview with a California radio station about Teresa's resurrection. I curiously asked the interviewer how many listened to their station. It was a face-slapping awakening. Millions. The prophecy was being realized. Prophecy channels God's wisdom, courage, comfort, and guidance. It opens closed doors and pulls back curtains. What an excellent tool for building up saints. Holy prophecy supercharges the church and is a true sign for the unbeliever. Seek prophetic revelation. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Distinguishing between spirits. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt a sense of evil that made your skin creep, or a sense of holy delight that made you jump on your tiptoes? You were discerning. Supernatural powers of discrimination are urgently needed. Many lambs are led astray by false teachings and seducing spirits because they lack it. Believers miss heaven's resources as they fail to realize an angelic presence is there to provide or guide. I was in a library of huge books. In the dream, there were marble busts of wise and discerning people. Curiously, their noses were much larger than normal. The Lord showed me this was discernment. You find a Tupperware dish in the back of the refrigerator. How long has it been there? Carefully, you pop the lid and give it the sniff test. Do you have a nose for discernment? Can you sense when angels or demons are about? Can you sense when things are holy or tainted? What a vital gift! Tongues. There was no controversy about tongues at Pentecost. There was bewilderment and amazement. I look for the day when the controversy is gone and the amazement returns. Some call speaking in tongues ecstatic utterance. On Pentecost, the real biblical ecstasy was among the hearers. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us hear them speak in our own native language?" The phrase utterly amazed comes from existanto, the Greek related to our word ecstasy. The cosmopolitan visitors from the Mediterranean world were in ecstasy because these backwoods hillbilly Galileans were speaking their languages. I love to hear of modern occurrences of saints unacquainted with a language who are supernaturally inspired to speak or interpret. Jesus died and rose to break the curse. One curse put on mankind to curtail their folly was the confusion of languages. Tongues and interpretation are gifts that undo the confusion of Babel. There are roughly 6,500 languages. The book of Revelation says the great worship service will have representatives from them all. Our gracious God dispensed tongues on Pentecost so others would learn of His Son. He still wills that those of all languages hear the message. He gives powers of communication. Let's study languages, but don't you think we should earnestly seek communication gifts which glorify God? Many books have been written on this subject. I suggest you grab your Bible and study up. There are inauthentic expressions of tongues. All the more reason to pursue the authentic. I would love to set up an exercise where we get dozens of people in a line to speak in tongues, and dozens of people from different language groups walking along and listening. Want to give it a try? Perhaps you should meet people, find if they're multilingual, and ask if they understand your gift of tongues. I did this once, under gunpoint in Turkey, when our group was held up by terrorists. It's funny after the fact, but they did not understand my tongue. Speaking in tongues is part of my personal prayer life. I would love it to be part of yours. Apparently, Paul had the same attitude. A young man came to me earnestly wanting to speak in tongues. I felt pressed for time and simply patted him on the shoulder and said, "Go home speaking in tongues." Later, he told me, as soon as he walked out the door, he started speaking in tongues and did so all the way home. If you want the gift of tongues, ask your generous Father and receive it now. Interpretation of tongues. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. 1 Corinthians 14:13. I don't know what the ratio of tongue speakers to interpreters is, but I speculate it to be 200 to 1. Whatever the number, things are out of balance. The church would be far richer if we had more interpretation gifts. Many have experienced tongues, but few are prepared to interpret. We are missing inspiration we might otherwise have. What are you going to do about it? Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Addendum 3. Holy Spirit. 94 times in the NIV Bible, the Spirit is referred to as the Holy Spirit. The word holy implies separate, other, and distinct. God is not animal, mineral, or vegetable. He is different. When we pray that our Father's name be regarded as holy, we are asking that the astonishing, uniquely grand things about Him would stand out. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. To be holy means to move from commonness to an exceptional place of separated distinctiveness. The Holy Spirit resting on common people makes them holy. But you, dear friends, build yourself up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Jude 20. Character trumps gifting. You may prophesy the secrets of people's hearts, but can you be trusted with a confidence? You may possess great faith, but are you arrogant? Do you use your astonishing gifts for your own advantage or to honor and build up others? Sin will quickly compromise our ability to minister to others and hear from the Father. I would rather work with people of high character and little gifting than the other way around. Of course, we pursue both. Don't minister with scummy pipes. Live a distinctive life. Many wonder how to overcome temptation and live the victorious life. As we are filled with the Holy Spirit, corrupt carnal ways of life are stifled by a greater power. Galatians 5:16. 9. Fruity flavors. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Galatians 5:22-23. There is no speed limit on joy. You won't find no trespassing signs for gentleness. You may be as kind or self-controlled as you wish, and no one will arrest you. God the Spirit brings delicious flavors and fragrances to our communion. Some have received gifts of the Spirit but have sour dispositions. The cure is to enjoy these fruity flavors. Addendum 4. Is something missing? There are at least three times in Acts where believers are missing the Holy Spirit. We should be humble enough to concede this may be our problem. Sometimes we have more form than power. There are many genuine believers who have little relationship with the Holy Spirit. People in Samaria received the Word of God through Philip, but they were still missing something. Peter and John came to minister to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, they had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 8:15-16. Saul encountered Christ on the Damascus Road. He was blinded. He believed, but he was not filled. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Acts 9:17. Paul asked Ephesian disciples, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Acts 19:1-2. It was not a silly question. Many believers and whole churches are dusty dry. They are waiting for a good plumber. We owe Pentecostal and charismatic believers a debt of gratitude. They have re-pioneered the ways of the Spirit and redug ancient wells. They've kept alive a passion for knowing the Spirit. While giving honor, I feel some Spirit-filled churches are less full than they make themselves out to be. Sometimes I think speaking in tongues is regarded as a high watermark, which may actually limit familiarity with the Spirit. By concentrating on one beautiful manifestation of the Spirit, we may miss the fact that God the Holy Spirit is immensely creative and diverse in the way He wishes to relate to us. On the other hand, some fundamentalists, even those who call themselves cessationists, are often more Spirit-filled than they realize. They make allowances for the Holy Spirit to convict of sin and bear witness that Jesus is the only Savior. They have Spirit gumption to get out and witness. Many have faith to pray and get answers. Those who have never seen a platypus may not believe, just as those who have never seen a miracle. Many are willing to change their minds. They're just waiting for you to give them a reason. I imagine every saint allows the Spirit to fill elements of their life, but is out of touch with other areas which might be filled. We may open the door to tongues or discernment of spirits, but not open the door to visions or miracles. In addition, we may feel the power of the Spirit at 110 volts, yet never have felt 440. We are told not to quench or grieve the Holy Spirit, but rather to stir up the gift within. We may stir a pot with a spoon, or stir a fire with a stick. Wonderment will stir up worship. The fear of the Lord will stir up reverence. Sanctified imagination stirs up vision and faith. we know some lizards grow replacement tails. Responding to a stretch of holy imagination, some have believed God and seen the replacement of limbs and organs. What, after all, did our Lord Jesus mean when he said, "With God, all things are possible"? Matthew 19:26. How will God be able to do more than we imagine if we fail to stir our imaginations? Things which follow us. If you are paddling a canoe, you may turn around and see a wake is following you. Look behind a ship or even a swimmer, and you will find a wake. We don't push signs and wonders. They follow us. As soon as we stop moving forward with Messiah, they disappear. Remember in the Shepherd's Psalm, goodness and mercy follows us. If we are intent on following Jesus, we may be confident that good things will follow. We lean forward with a view to follow Jesus. Yet every so often we may take a glance in the rearview mirror and see signs and wonders and goodness and mercy following us. Follow the Lamb, and He will lead you to the waters of life. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Revelation 7:17. Addendum 5. Hosting a River Seminar. Host an intensive, biblically saturating, and spiritually drenching seminar. Experience ministry models in breakout sessions where truth becomes experience. Discover the tangible coming river that will spring up from the city of Jerusalem. The dynamic inner river that Christ wills to flow through you. How to draw and pour forth the Holy Spirit's reality as you minister to others. Host a Riverfront Property Seminar by contacting Stephen C. Johnson at LandingStripEnterprises.com. What some have said about the River Seminar. The conference was packed with depth and insight. Never left the edge of my seat. Let's do it again. It drew people together like nothing I've experienced. Steve Johnson demonstrated the tender, loving kindness of the Lord and ignited the people involved to do the same. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Riverfront Property Conference brought both empowerment and encouragement to those attending. Truly a rewarding and fulfilling experience. Came totally thirsty, left totally refreshed. About the author. Steve Johnson loves to go into the deep end. He aspires to stir the church to prepare a landing strip for the Lord's return. He helps saints discover their gifts and callings and network in collaborative kingdom ventures. He cultivates the visions and values of Jesus' kingdom, promoting unity among believers from the micro to the macro. Steve is a lover of Israel and Israel's Messiah. He is available as an impartational guest minister and as the facilitator of Riverfront Property Seminars. Steve is a graduate of George Fox University and Palmer Theological Seminary. He is a true pastor-teacher, having served in Presbyterian, Baptist, Charismatic, and Independent fellowships. Steve and Pam Johnson live in Seattle, Washington, and are active in their church and community. They have 4 stellar adult children, and are pleased that grandchildren are starting to show up. Read Steve's blog at LandingStripEnterprises.com.